Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with Chicago veteran Lee Pelty. He will be talking to Tom Williams about Fiddler on the Roof and his over 2,000 times performing Tevye. Also, we have another audio review, and of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk some theater.
This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's podcast. Our special guest is a legendary actor and singer and Chicago icon, Lee Pelty, who many of you veteran listeners will know from Candlelight Days. And he is starring at Theater at the Center, playing Tevye in Fiddler. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you very much, Tom.
You have played Fiddler, Tevye, a few times, haven't you?
Yes, I lost track of it. I know that I did my 2000 performance, I think it was 1990, at Candlelight, at one of the revivals there. But since then, I've lost track because I've done several productions since then.
So you've done it well over 2,000 times.
Yes, yes. He's become a little part of me.
Well, it was fantastic being out at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana, seeing you on stage again.
Well, thank you.
Because I go back to when you originally did it at Candlelight in 1971.
Yeah, that was it was a funny story. Bill didn't want me to audition for it because he didn't think that I was robust enough.
Bill Polensi.
Right. Bill Polensi, who's directing it now. And I remember I kept asking him to let me at least audition for it. And he said, no, you're not right for it physically. And I said, well, why not? Well, he went on, and to make a long story short, he auditioned a lot of people, and he had the final call back. And I said, you owe it to me just to have me audition. You don't have to cast me, but just listen to me and audition. And I went there, and his partner, Tony D'Angelo, got me a fat suit. He brought in a costumer and a makeup person to put on a beard on me because I was clean shaven for La Mancha. We were doing La Mancha at the time. And I went on and did the opening monologue, and I did Rich Man. And I went downstairs to the dressing room to take off my costume and makeup. And one of the people came down and said, Bill wants to see you. And the first thing Bill said was, how much do you want? Because it was probably the best audition I've ever done in my life.
It sure paid off, didn't it?
It sure did for me anyway, and I hope for Bill. We've had a great relationship as far as...
And he's directing at Munster, too.
Yes, he is. And I think this production has more depth than any of the other productions that we've ever done.
I tend to agree with you. It did have a lot of depth. You had a lot of veteran performers.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Oh. Well, Iris, when we first did it, Iris Lieberman, who plays Golda in this production, played Huddle, my second daughter, in the very first production. Then she came back and did another production. She played Seitel, which is the oldest daughter.
The oldest, yeah.
And now she's playing Golda. She's wonderful.
Yes,
she's,
she is.
Just wonderful.
The whole cast is terrific.
Yeah, Bill wanted a little more insight into the characters, and he made it a little more serious. The humor is still there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's written so well. Joe Stein did a wonderful job with the book and adapting the Sholem Aleichem stories to the production of Fiddler.
Well, I thought you give it a lot of depth because
well, thank you.
In your body language alone, you know that he's this beaten down milkman who's got five daughters.
Always optimistic though.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Always looking at the bright side, even in the dark moments in the play, he still looks forward.
But a lot of those little subtle moments you have, the little scene transitions and the little comments as you look up to the Lord. I mean, you deliver those, but I mean, they can be a little short, but they're just so powerful.
Yeah, they are. And I guess I've grown because I've gotten to know Tevye, at least from my aspect, more and more each time I do it. And having different directors, they have different views. So you accumulate all the views that they have with the new director, and you try to portray it on stage.
Well, to me, you are the definitive.
Well, thank you.
And I saw Zero Mostel do it.
I did too.
Yes. I mean, he was great.
He certainly was.
But I'll tell you, maybe it's because it's the first time I saw it. I saw him afterward. And I remember saying, he's not as good as the guy at Candlelight. And at that time, I was much more of a theater patron than I am now. And I kind of didn't remember the name, but then later on when you know, you worked for my uncle and did some industrials, right. Then we knew your name, of course.
Oh, yes, your uncle was a big part of my life in Chicago.
So in the industrials, besides doing Candlelight, let's go into your background. I know you worked for my Uncle Dave Hayes, who did industrials.
A ton of industrials.
Just define quickly for our younger audiences who may not know what industrials are.
Well, industrials are productions, and a lot of them are done with original music, and all of them are done with original scripts. And they're done for companies like General Electric, IGA.
They could be big meetings or national conventions.
That's exactly what they're done for their big meetings and their national conventions and their regional meetings. And they're done all over the country. And what they write into it is sort of a message that the company is trying to put out to their distributors or their salesmen.
But they're musical shows. Right?
That's exactly what they are, only with a message just geared towards the product of the company. And your uncle was very instrumental in hiring me in a lot of industrials. At the very first, he used me for my singing voice. Then it was different, but I worked with a lot of terrific actors, and I learned my craft from them. One of them that I did a lot with is Ron Masek, who played the sheriff on Murder, She Wrote.
I met Ron Masek. Yes, he did. He played the sheriff, yeah.
Yeah, and he was, I learned a lot from him. He had been in theater, I think we're about the same age, but he had been in theater longer than I have and knew the little nuances, and all I did was sit back and observe and absorb.
That's great. So let's go into your background now. I know before Fiddler, which you've done, five, six times at least, you've done over 2,000 productions.
I've done 15 productions.
15 productions, wow. But you also had a long run at Candlelight with Bill Plincy directing Man of La Mancha.
That was the first show I did for...
That ran, 54 weeks?
50, the first show, the regional theater that ever ran over a year.
Wow.
At that particular time. And then Fiddler followed it, and that ran almost 2 years. So it was a nice run. And then we did 1776, which ran for about 7-8 months. Then we did... let's see. We did Oliver, which also ran about.
You had to have played Fagin.
Yes, it was. It was an easy role to play a dirty old man, and it was a lot of fun. And then we did La Mancha again. But I was out there for about 8 or 9 straight years, and it was.
Well, every one of us, we associated Candlelight with you.
Well, thank you.
I had the honor of seeing you at least 3 or 4 times.
It was a proud association and a terrific union, at least for me.
Well, you know, eventually we're coming up soon. We're going to do a whole show about Candlelight because it was the first dinner playhouse in America.
That's right.
It's in all the textbooks.
That's exactly
right. It was also
right.
The first theater to get regional rights to a lot of shows, as Marriott now does.
Exactly. Because of the production values that Bill and Tony
about Bill Plincy and Tony D'Angelo,
that they put into it, because they wouldn't they try to do everything as close to the original production in the limited space that they had.
And you were in the round, right? You were circling, right. had the hydraulics, right? They could go up and down, right?
And, you know, theater in the round is probably the closest to real theater because you don't have to worry about turning your back on the audience and as in proscenium because you're always going to have your back to somebody.
But you also have to really block it and make sure you play
everybody,
it to everybody.
And
sees
Bill Polinsky is a genius at doing that.
He
really is. He's just wonderful. To watch him work in the round, he just is a master at putting people at certain spots so everybody can see him.
Yeah, I remember when they did Will Rogers' Follies.
Oh, I
doing the big
that.
Dance, the big number where they're all sitting down in the circle.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was amazing. And then the guy come out and did the rope, and he got the rope going all the way around the theater. It was
absolutely.
Incredible.
And that's not an easy show to do there.
No, it's a very tough show to do.
The easiest probably, which was probably almost written for End Around, is La Mancha.
Yes, it was.
It's just terrific. It was done originally in a thrust stage. But Bill adapted it to End Around. It just worked absolutely perfect.
Now, you're doing Fiddler in a Thrust Stage at
yes,
Theater
Yes, and he blocked it because there are people all the way around, almost all the way around, three-quarters.
Three-quarters, yeah, right.
Three-quarters. He's blocked it similar to a Theater in the Round so that everybody will at least get some glimpse of what is going on stage and not get blocked most of the time.
Yeah, and it works.
It works.
I like the thrust stages, too.
I do, too.
Yeah.
When we have a complete full house, you have to change your blocking a little bit so you don't miss the people that are in the corner.
And they
don't miss anything. I've never heard a complaint out there.
Well, we don't have any worries about hearing you, either. I mean, you've got one of those big booming voices that are...
Well, I remember when I first started, no mics. You had to project out there.
That's one of the lessons that I'll say to the young actors, even in little storefronts, is especially females, is they don't project. And they should take lessons from the veterans. Like, go out and see Fiddler and hear you and Iris and Renee and Larry Adams and on and on. You don't need mics. You can be heard.
No, actually, you don't. But it helps... people that sometimes don't hear as well. And
it balances. But, I mean, you don't really. You're from those. At Candlelight, were you mic'd?
Not the first 15 years we didn't use that I worked there. We didn't use mics. Then he started using it to a certain extent. The girl who ran the sound there used to tell me, forget it, I don't even put you up. It's as low as I can get it when you get on stage.
Well, the old-time belters, and that makes a difference in it.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, even when you're almost like whispering, you can be heard all over the theater.
Thank you.
It's an art form, too, to be able to do that, right?
And that's what it gives you. Sometimes mics help to give a truer performance or truer adaptation to the line. Because when you don't have mics, if a line calls for a very soft thing, you still have to project it if you don't have a mic. And if you do have a mic, you can do it, and the sound person can adjust that
can
and
adjust
turn
it, a
it
little
up.
Bit. Okay, that's a good point.
So that's the good thing about the mic.
So let's talk about when you started out in theater. What got you hooked into this?
I guess, when I was a kid... I always had a big voice, and I was a skinny little kid.
You were born and raised in Panama?
Panama. I was born and raised in Panama, and I remember my very first song that I did, and I was picked because I had the loudest voice. It was in kindergarten. I sang The Bells of St. Mary. and I always sang. I had a big voice, and this skinny little body. I was only 5'3", 110 pounds. So, and then I grew all of a sudden, but I didn't expand. I was playing basketball. I played on the Olympic team for Panama.
Oh, correct. Terrific.
And I was 6'3", 6'3 and a half at 145 pounds.
The original string bean.
That's exactly. And then I went to Purdue. I'm trying to give you a short synopsis. I graduated from in Panama, the Canal Zone High School, Cristobal High School. Went to Purdue. I started out in chemical engineering, but they had a glee club, which was world known.
Yes, and, they are. They do have. Yeah, that's true.
And I auditioned for the glee club, and I got in, and almost right away he made me a soloist, and that got me started. And Al Stewart, who was the director at the time, since he's no longer with us, unfortunately, he was a great showman, and I learned a lot of nuances from him on how to prepare an audience for what you're going to do.
Okay. Yeah, because you have a command of the audience.
Well, I learned
one
a lot,
of those. Yeah, a lot of people don't have that. They can act and sing, but they don't connect with the audience.
Like, and that's one of the things that I've always tried to do as an entertainer, as a singer in piano bars, is to communicate with your audience. If you don't have to be that good, if you can convince them that you are that good.
I like that. And, you know, the more I'm thinking about that, it does make sense. Some of the best cabaret singers we know, their voices are gone. They're really not that good as singers.
That's right.
But people love them, and you love them. You come out, you're entertained.
Absolutely.
You're humming the songs and everything.
Look at the great Al Jolson was like that. He just would take an audience and just put them in the palm of his hands. A lot of people didn't like him personally.
Yeah, he was a nasty guy from what I heard.
But me too. And I remember the late Will Leonard, who was a good friend of his, who was the Tribune critic, used to tell me, he said he'd go to see him, waiting to give him a bad review. And at the end of the show, he was the first one standing up.
He was going there hoping, because that says a lot, because he's going there with a kind of a bias going into
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. He was not going to like him. And then he'd turn out and have to give him a good great review.
What do you think is the main ingredient for you that makes you connect with audience? I mean, you can feel it, and that's one of the great things about working on the stage. I know a lot of actors tell me they can feel it.
I try to give them what I am feeling, and if I can do that through song or a movement of my hand or a facial expression, I know that they'll understand what I'm trying to do.
Well, to me, it's your honesty.
And
you're not afraid to be vulnerable.
That's I think, the secret. A lot of people are afraid, and a lot of people hide within their character.
Right.
A lot of actors hide within their characters. I try to be part of the character to show the honesty of the character, whether he's vulnerable or as big as life, whatever it is.
Well, that begs the question, that since you were doing Fiddler so long, how much of Tevye do you become, and does it take you a while to gear down when you leave the state, you know, when the show is over?
Well, I don't try to take anything home, but no matter what part you do, whether it's La Mancha, Fagin, Tevye, John Adams, who I was the tallest John Adams in history.
Yeah, because he was like 5'4", wasn't he, or something?
5'8".
He was 5'8".
He was 5'8". And you study them and you try to look into the words that the playwright has put into it, the person who wrote the book. And they must have done a lot of research, so you try to visualize and capture what the playwright has put down on paper and try to do that live and communicate that to the audience.
Okay.
And some of it will stay with you.
Do you consider yourself a dancer, too?
No. In no sense of the word.
But I saw you moving around there in
the
To Life number.
I can move. My son is a dancer. Me, I'm just a mover. I remember when I was doing Zorba, our choreographer, Brian Lynch at the time, had learned the original Greek dance for the scene in the nightclub that mm-hmm. Zorba does.
Right.
And he learned it, and he was teaching it to me, and I just couldn't get it. I mean, I just have two left feet. And My son, who was 15 at the time, came to one rehearsal. He learned it in 5 minutes and taught it to me at home.
That's good. Well, you must feel good that you've had the honor of working with your son in
yes.
Fiddler. Tell us about that.
Well, the first time I worked with him, his college, where he was going to school in the West Coast, USIU, United States International University, was looking for a Tevye. They were going to do a production of Fiddler out there. And my son mentioned me, and I flew out there to talk to them. And they hired me, and he did Muttel in that particular production.
Okay.
But before that, I had done a show with him in Jacksonville. I couldn't remember. The Alhambra Dinner Playhouse, okay. Who is run by an ex-Chicagoan.
I've been there. Yeah,
Todd Booth, who used to be the stage manager and production manager at Drury Lane South, the Martinique. And he called me and asked me to do it down there. And he hired Adam, who did Fietka there. And Adam was only 18.
Adam is still working, isn't he?
Adam is, as we speak now, he's coming in tomorrow to see our production with my grandson.
Oh, great.
Coming in from New York. Adam has his own company called Movable Arts, which is a teaching company that teaches high school and college kids the way to prepare for an audition in New York, how to prepare readings for auditions for any kind.
That's an art, and I know a lot of kids that have big trouble with that. They're talented people, they just don't know how to audition.
That's right. His company, and they hire, and they have stars from Broadway.
Wow.
Come in and talk to the kids.
What's the name of the company again? Might as well give them a plug.
Yes, Movable Arts.
Movable Arts.
And you can just punch it up on the internet.
Get it Google,
it'll come up.
Does he do anything here?
He hasn't done anything in Chicago for a while. He's now going into rehearsal for a show he's doing in Lowell, Massachusetts, which is right outside of Boston, that was written by Alan Nee, the man who wrote Forever, the Neverland.
Right.
The one that Johnny Depp, the movie about, right. I'm trying to think of the character, Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, right.
I couldn't think of it. But anyway, he's choreographing it and being in it. There are only two people in it.
I see your eyes lighting up when you're talking about this.
Yeah, I'm very proud of him. He's a terrific performer. He's a terrific choreographer, dancer, and director, and teacher.
Well, that's a good combination.
Yeah, he's been choreographing and directing lately in New York at AMDA, which is the American Music and Drama Academy.
Oh, great.
In New York. He did.
So a lot of people wanted me to ask you this, so I've got to bring this up. We haven't seen you on stage in about 9-10 years. And a lot of us had memories, and we've been hoping to see you back on stage. Where have you been?
Well, I've been here in Chicago, but, you know, we go through a stage in show business. The first one is Who's Lee Pelty? Then you go to Get Me Lee Pelty. Then you go to Get Me a Young Lee Pelty. And then you go to Who's Lee Pelty?
Okay.
So I guess I don't know why people didn't know that I was still alive or
did,
still
some work. People did ask me that too. That's
yeah.
It,
yeah. If you're not seen, they figure you died. But no, I still performed. I did a lot of singing at parties. People hire me to do private parties, and I sing and tell jokes. Like the old days at the piano bar when I worked.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, I worked before I did my first show with Bill, and in the midst of doing industrials in the 60s and 70s, but mostly in the 60s, I worked in piano bars for almost 10 years.
Weren't you a Cubs announcer? Oh,
yes,
tell us
I
about
was.
That.
In 82 and 83, I was. Harry Carey and I went to the Cubs the same year.
Okay.
1982, Dallas Green was the general manager.
Yeah, I remember those years.
And I was doing Zorba at the time, and the director of entertainment and, you know, that did all the publicity and stuff came to see me, and he knew I was a Cubs fan and asked me if I would do that. And I said, well, I'd love to do it, but I have matinees and when I'm doing work. He says, I'll do that. I just want you there generally. And
so what did
I loved
you do?
It.
Were you the announcer?
Yeah,
So you were the batting second and
that's
playing
right.
left field.
I was the new Pat Piper.
Give us
and
one.
And now, batting for the Cubs, number one, Larry Boa.
Very good.
And my great thing was I could pronounce all those Spanish names.
And you do speak Spanish.
Yes, that was my first language.
Okay,
actually. English was my second language.
Okay. But so you could pronounce all the Spanish names, yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite was a relief pitcher for Philadelphia, Porfirio Altamirano. I used to love to say
that. Yeah, that's lyrical. I mean,
loved to. And when Valenzuela was here, I used to go down on the field and ask the players if this was the correct way to pronounce their name. And all the guys, well, I remember the one terrific thing was I used to go to all the parties that the Cubs had and the ball players were there.
Some good parties I've heard.
Oh yes, they did any of the promotional things, and I used to sing there and everything. Well, Willie Hernandez, who was a relief pitcher for the Cubs, came up to me and we were speaking Spanish and he says, I used to call him Guillermo, which is Spanish for William. And at the parties, I used to call him Guillermo, and he says, will you do me a favor the next time that I come in relief, would you call me Guillermo? And I said, sure, there's no problem. So the next day or 2 days later, he came in relief, and I said, and now pitching for the Cubs, number 39, Willie Guillermo Hernandez. And he looked up and he gave me a wink.
That's cute. So for the past 9 years, you've done some shows in other cities, too, right?
Yes, in other cities. I've done a Fiddler. I did it in Tallahassee. And I did it out in Santa Cruz for another college. I was looking for a guest artist to come in and do Tevye.
Okay, but what... Did Bill call you for this? Or, I mean,
yes, he called me last June.
Okay.
He called me. He said, would you be interested in doing this again? I said, when? And he said, in February. I said, Bill, this is June.
Yeah, you thought it would be something like July, right? Or something.
Yeah, I said, I thought it was going to be in a couple months. And then I said, if I'm still around, I'll be happy to do it.
Well, that's great. It is so refreshing to have you back on stage.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Does it feel good to be back?
Oh, it feels great.
I mean, the opening night. I was at opening night. And did you notice the applause you got?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was heartwarming. It really was. It was very nice to still be remembered.
And I can tell you this. It was one of the largest opening night crowds I've seen there. Because they don't always, you know, they always have a few seats on the
right.
I mean, it was packed. A lot of it was to see you.
Well, thank you. But we've had some really wonderful houses there, and the reception from the audiences have been just terrific. Yesterday was just, you know, it's always you have a couple of days off and you go back to the first show of the week, and you wonder how you're going to get in because you had a couple of days off,
right.
And it's nice to have to get away from it. But yesterday afternoon we had a very nice house. And they were wonderful. They laughed at all the jokes. They applauded. They were really into it. And that just lifts your performance even more.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, what's the future for you?
I really, I don't know. I hope that I'll be getting calls.
Now that you're back, I think so.
I think I'm singing as well as I have.
You sounded exactly like you did. You are better acting.
Well, thank you. I hope
because,
so.
Because, you know, you grow as an actor, but the voice, you were there. It was amazing. And I have a real good, you know, audio memory. And I saw you enough times, it was chilling. I said to my friend who was with me, who had never seen you, I go, this guy sounds exactly like he did 30 years ago.
Well, thank you. God has been good to me as far as my throat is concerned.
What do you do to keep the voice up?
Nothing.
Is that right? Oh, okay.
I really
that kills
don't
all
do,
the coaches.
I really don't. I don't practice or anything. I'll sing around the house and, you know, I'd sing along with something on the radio or on television and sing at parties and everything. But I don't exercise my throat. Maybe that's bad, but God has given me that kind of a throat, I guess.
You got that leather throat, too.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, too, because when I worked on Rush Street singing in piano bars, I used to sing 5 to 6 hours at a time with no break.
In those smoky bars.
In those smoky bars.
Yeah.
And I guess it made him stronger rather than weaker.
All right, I got a couple more questions.
Sure.
What is your proudest achievement as a performer? I mean, you look
back. That's not an easy question.
No, I ask everybody that. So you,
I don't know. I would imagine is the longevity that I had when I first started and the acceptance that the audience had for me in performing, and they liked what I did for them, because everything I do on stage is for the audience.
And it comes across, and folks,
and
I've seen you at least five, this is at least the fifth or sixth time.
But that's I guess, is the proudest thing that I can feel.
So you know how to connect with the audience.
Right. I think that's, maybe that's the secret of why I worked so long in piano bars. And when I did that, I used to ask the patrons, because a lot of the conventioners would come in, and they'd be in town for 4 or 5 days, and they'd be in to see me every night, 4 or 5, whatever days they were there. And I asked them, I said, geez, I do mostly, I mean, I change some of it, but most of the jokes are the same. Most of the songs are the same. Why is it? It says, well, we feel comfortable, and we bring other people there so they can feel comfortable.
That's a great compliment, isn't it?
Yeah,
being comfortable.
It is.
And great concept.
I didn't know that I did that. I just did that instinctively.
Well, they wouldn't keep coming unless that's
well,
true.
You know, you think, geez, 4 nights in a row, you see the same face, which is great. I'm not putting it down. Yeah. But why did they come back?
And great that you asked them.
Yeah.
All right, what individual role do you like the best? I'm putting you on the spot. But
yeah, well, it would have to be Tevye.
Okay.
With La Mancha a close second.
Okay. Two of the greatest roles in musical
absolutely.
Theater.
I've been blessed that the first place Bill hired me to do these particular roles. But I've also done Zorba, which is
that's
wonderful.
Fabulous, yes.
I did one of the... one of my favorite things that nobody came to see, unfortunately, it was during the little bit of our depression, recession rather, was Mac and Mabel, where I did Mac Sennett.
Oh, man, that's a great show.
It's a wonderful show. Great. I think it's the best
Circle
thing.
Circle Theater is going to... It's opening it next week.
You're kidding.
At Circle Theater in Forest Park,
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's not an easy show to do.
No,
but
I love the soundtrack. I'm a big Jerry Herman fan.
Jerry Herman, I think this is the best thing he ever wrote.
And, you know, he told me, I interviewed him, and Jerry told me he could not believe he had the same team in place he had for Dolly, for Hello, Dolly.
Right.
Book writer, you know, arranger, everything. He says, I just can't understand. He says, I think it's a better show.
It is. To me, it is a better show.
I think eventually... it'll get rediscovered, don't you?
What I understand that the critics didn't like about it, and they had a great cast, Robert Preston.
Yeah, right. Yeah, everybody.
Bernadette Peters. It was a terrific cast. But what I understand is that the original ending was very downer. It's an extreme downer. Mabel Normand dies.
Yeah, that's true.
He says, and that's the way it was, and he walks off stage to the melody of I Won't Send Roses, which is a great song in
great
the show,
song, yes.
As you walked off. And I guess the critics didn't like that downer, and it only lasted 8 weeks on Broadway. I couldn't understand it when I looked at it.
That's what Jerry Herman said. I don't know if they've revised it. I'll let you know what Circle Theater, because They've been doing a lot of the shows where they take the failed shows, you know, where they make notes afterward if we had to do it over again, yeah. And they do it that way.
Well, Bill did that.
Bill does that, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Bill did that with Rags.
Yeah, that's another terrific show that needs to be done again.
But that Rags was a big flop on Broadway. Yeah. It had more nominations than performances. that's the truth.
Yeah, I believe
and,
it.
And Bill took all the scripts that they'd written. They'd written a ton of scripts. And he took, I think, the best parts. And Joe Stein came in, who wrote the book, and Charlie Strauss, who wrote the music. And we had like a three-week rehearsal to put it together. And they did it. We did it in a smaller scale. Bill, you know, directed it in a smaller scale than did on Broadway. The original investors came to see it. And they loved it. They said, why didn't we do this in New York?
Well,
they did a very big, lavish production in New York, and it's not that kind of a show.
Right, and New York tends to do that, overproduce some shows. Yeah, because
that's exactly what they did. They overproduced Rags.
Well, and that shows you why so many shows are starting in Chicago, with people like Bill that can come in and massage them that really know theater.
Absolutely. And it was fun to do it, too.
Oh, that's great. So you like that show, too?
Oh, yeah, I liked it. It was a lot of fun. Very serious show, because it brings in the actual fire that the character I played, the daughter, dies in the fire.
I remember the show. It's a terrific show. Well, let's give one final plug for Fiddler on the Roof at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana. What days do you give us the days?
Right now, I think it's Wednesday and Thursday matinees.
Right, 2 o'clock matinees.
Right, at Friday night, 8 o'clock show. Saturday night, 8 o'clock show. Sunday, 2:30 matinee, and Saturday, 2:30 matinee. Except, I think next Thursday, the 1st of March, I think there's a matinee and an evening show.
An evening show.
And no Saturday matinee.
Well, if you go to our schedule on Talk Theater in Chicago, that'll give you that, or Theater at the Center's website, that'll
right.
give you the schedule.
That'll give you the
so
schedule.
So you're having fun, huh?
I'm having a ball.
It's so glad to have you back.
Well, thank you,
Tom. And we're looking forward to seeing you in a few more roles coming up. I'm sure this is kind of opened the door again.
I hope so. It's been fun, I'll tell you that.
Well, great. Thank you, folks. And remember, go see a play this week. Thank you.
Hello, Chicago. Welcome to another imminent episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of February 26th, 2007. Remy Bumpo Theater Company is preparing for the launch of Remy Bumpo's Think Tank, their annual exploration of the vital issues for Chicagoans. This year, the Think Tank Project will be exploring the issue of immigration and will be including a world premiere play, a children's show, 3 staged readings, and, of course, nightly moderated discussions. Remy Bumpo's Think Tank will debut on March 22nd and run through April 15th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. It is presented in collaboration with the Silk Road Theater Project, Teatro Vista, Resaca Theater Company, and the Children's Museum of Immigration. For more information on Remy Bumpo Theater's annual Think Tank project, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's favorite section, the Theater News section. You heard us talking about it a few weeks ago. Well, now the time has come closer, and the time is for Broadway sensations Linda Ader to return to Chicago for one night only. That night is, of course, Saturday, March 3rd at 8 o'clock in the Cadillac Palace Theater. Linda Ader, the Broadway star, will be performing hits from her newest CD, By Myself, The Songs of Judy Garland. There are some tickets still available for Linda Ader, so you need to get out there and get your tickets today. Well, there's some good news for the American Theater Company's Oklahoma. You may remember that as the audio review that we did last week. Well, the ATC has announced an extension of Oklahoma. It will now be running through March 18th. You can listen to our audio review or check out the review roundup of Oklahoma. So you better make plans to get your tickets in the extension because this show is happening. Don't miss it. UMA Productions will be presenting the Midwest premiere of Ryan Groff's Orange Lemon Egg Canary. The show, which was an Obie Award winner, is about a magician and his sexy assistant. Orange Lemon Egg Canary is directed by artistic director Michael Terragarver, who we interviewed just a few weeks ago here on the Talk Theater in Chicago interview podcast. So you may want to check out that interview. And you also may want to check out Orange Lemon Egg Canary when it opens up on April 18th at the Chopin Studio Theater. Well, thank you for listening to this eminent episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago news podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Richard II, Act 3, Scene 2. "He does me double wrong that wounds me with the flatteries of his tongue." Well, we can't thank you enough for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago news podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
You are listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast. Fiddler on the Roof, directed by William Polinsky, at Theater in the Center. Review by Tom Williams. Lee Pelty and William Polinsky have a long history from their days at Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, where Pelty first performed Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof in 1970. That show alone ran for 22 months. Since then, Pelty has played Tevye 15 times. He still has the voice, the charismatic stage presence, and his Tevye is a marvel to behold. It is so nice to see him on stage after more than a decade away. This Fiddler has a stellar cast of old-time Candlelight Dinner Playhouse actors, from Iris Lieberman, who plays Golda, to Dale Benson, who plays the rabbi, to Renee Matthews, who plays Yenta the matchmaker. They also have some new young performers like Amy Olsen as Zeidel, John Cunningham as Mottel, and Kenneth Z. Kendall as Perchik. All offer an emotional-based fiddler that respects the material as it delivers the ironic Jewish humor and the pain of living in a rural village. Theater at the Center's production is quite true to the original, as it lets the material shine. Filled with many exhilarating tunes such as Tradition, Sunrise Sunset, Matchmaker, and The Rousing to Life, Fiddler is a cherished musical that laments the pain and struggles of oppressed peoples everywhere. We see Tevye struggling to balance his faith and way of life with his love for his daughters, who eagerly embrace the contemporary world. Lee Pelty's Tevye conveys the milkman's angst. Filled with rich vocals and fine movement, director Polinsky captures the essence of the classic work. This fiddler scratches out a lovely, heartwarming evening. It was a nostalgic evening for me as it brought back fond memories of Candlelight Dinner Playhouse. I saw Fiddler in 1970 starring Lee Pelty. I was a tad younger then, but Fiddler still enchants me every time I see it. Lee Pelty makes this production special. I give this a recommended rating. Fiddler on the Roof, directed by William Polinsky at Theater at the Center, located at 1040 Ridge Road in Munster, Indiana, now running through March 11th. For tickets and more information, call 219-836-3255, 219-836-3255.
Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Lee Pelty for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would also like to thank Mark Meyer and Tom Williams, without whom this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.